Chapter 1. To reminisce in the bitter fires of death, to be lost in the fear, to feel the pain of almost physical nightmares, but to know nothing of it, to remember nothing but black screams, was one way of touching lands worse than Karzani, or the pit with the tips of your fingers. You cannot do anything against such evil. Nothing. Ignorance is truly bliss. Tachi would remind herself of this, possibly many times a day. It helped her fuel her taste for blood, vengeance, guilt. She ran and pressed on with bitter struggles and stubbornness to attain her goal. Nothing but a stretch of death would stop her. Not even a great being could sway her heart. She could feel it, hear it, almost smell it, but she could not remember it. Tachi, toe of electricity, would stop at nothing to gain her memories back. Ill means or not, she would kill every Makuta and more to reach what was rightfully hers. She ran as fast as her legs would carry her. The Toa's purple and black scarred armor was slim, agile, and powerful. Tachi seemed not to blink as she stared at her destination. Her hand clutched tightly on her long buster sword, treating it as if it were as a feather. The whole forgotten alleyway was dark, grimy, and had a sickening smell to it. This island was once similar to her own, beautifully prosperous by the main trade routes. Nevertheless, it was simple and peaceful. But now it was nothing more than an ailing grave, a meager and small sight for a Makuta to enjoy themselves with experiments, gleefully boasting at their grand ability to conquer. It made her feelings of rage to a boiling point, but no one could be able to tell by her blank expression, her dull blue eyes still staring towards the large tower. They would pay for this. They would fear, and they would die. She had discarded the Toa's code, but no, she was not rightfully a Toa anymore. She was just a fake, using the power to her own advantage. Tachi didn't care, for she was just a soulless piece of metal programmed only to find peace to her mind. She bounded up toward the roof, landing neatly and without a moment's rest, continued to race on, her feet clattering almost silently against the metal roofs. The city itself was now empty, but guards still patrolled the various streets and roofs. Her only company was the smoke and the darkness of the night. She raised her weapon, holding it with both hands. With a smooth acrobatic prowess, she somersaulted in the air, jumping between a gap and slicing her weapon through a rakshi as if it was mere water. She landed and her feet clanked against the metal. She turned back to watch the creature attempt to cry out, but to no avail. The visor she wore over her Mahiki-style mask glimmered against some flickering streetlights, the device reading over the rakshi to make certain it was dead. She then turned back toward her goal and stood stock still as a statue momentarily. The tall tower of the Makuta loomed up to the cloudy dark sky, far off at the edge of the village. She placed the weapon on her back, securing it into place. Then she jumped on a small tower and began to climb. Within seconds, she was at the top, perched up at the edge like a crouching animal. She looked down to notice a long, barge-like chute going down the street, heading toward the gate. That was her cue. She jumped off the tower, feeling the dry wind race past her, whizzing and screaming.